report fulfilled in and for the seventh judicial circuit. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near and give their attention as this court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. First case for argument is Williams v. Sims, Ms. Bagby.
Good morning, Ann Bagby from the Attorney General's Office for the Appellant. This case is here on an interlocutory appeal from the District Court's denial of our time bar motion. In denying our motion, the court found that three factors warranted equitable tolling in this case. Initially, I'd like to point out that this court has never used equitable tolling to excuse an untimely filing. But even assuming equitable tolling would apply, this case does not present the type of extraordinary circumstances beyond the petitioner's control which would excuse his late filing. In holding that there were extraordinary circumstances, the court first found there was uncertainty as to the then recently enacted AEDPA as to what it required petitioner to do. Specifically, the court thought that what constituted a properly filed application for state post-conviction review was unclear, and that petitioner could not have been expected to know if his post-conviction petition in a state court was properly filed and would toll the statute of limitations. But this court has held that unclear law regarding a filing deadline does not constitute grounds for equitable tolling. And even if the law was unclear, the petitioner should have filed by the earliest deadline rather than the latest, which he did not do. The second reason the district court relied on to find equitable tolling was that it would require, if it were not granted in this case, it would require a petitioner to file a state post-conviction petition and at the same time file a federal habeas petition. And the district court had concerns regarding this type of simultaneous proceedings in state and federal court, and it cited the comity principles, which provides that state courts should have the first opportunity to correct errors in judgment. But comity doesn't conflict with placekeeping, and this court has endorsed this type of pleading when a petitioner presents a pleading with exhausted and unexhausted claims. The district court can stay the petition while the petitioner then returns to state court to exhaust his remedies. And this is the type of procedure that should have been used in this case. The petitioner should have filed his habeas petition, asked the court for a stay while he returned to state court to complete his proceedings. This way he would have avoided the time bar. The third reason the district court relied on for finding equitable tolling was that the state post-conviction petition was pending for a significant length of time. And even though it was eventually found to be untimely, the district court...
You said even if equitable tolling applies. So what is your view?
My view is that equitable tolling does not apply
in
2254. And that is first because Congress was very detailed in the built-in tolling provision it provided for in Section 2254. And with this detail, it's reasonable to assume their intent was to leave this as a closed-ended type of statute of limitations. And second,
the other circuits have found that equitable tolling is appropriate.
They have. Other circuits have found it. But those cases, there is some suggestion that if a district court affirmatively misleads a state prisoner, that equitable tolling may be appropriate in those circumstances. Other cases which have found equitable tolling fit into the built-in provisions and could be constituted as a state impediment. But even under that circumstance, equitable tolling should not apply because...
What's the provision you think covers this ground?
I don't think that there would be. In this case, I think
what
that
this... What is the provision you think that displaces equitable tolling?
I don't think that Congress explicitly...
Well, you said there's made some detailed provision. What is that?
It's Section 2254, Section D1, A through D. And those set out that if there's a state impediment which created prevented petitioner from filing, that's D1B. And then D1C, constitutional right, which is newly recognized, that's made retroactive. And then D1D, the date on which the factual predicate of a claim could have been discovered through the exercise of due diligence. Those are the detailed provisions which have built in equitable tolling to the statute. Mm-hmm. So based on those, on Congress's intent to build in those provisions, that it doesn't seem that they intended it to be stretched beyond that, and that it, that they wanted to leave such discretion to the legislature and not to courts to come up with other types of situations. Finally, the third reason the district court relied on was that there was a significant length of time, but this would not constitute equitable tolling here because the petitioner wasn't diligent throughout.
But you said that, that if the state had affirmatively misled the applicant, that wouldn't fit A. But now, what is the status of that? Do you think that would make any difference? That's barred also, or what?
It is barred.
By
even
what?
Because it doesn't fit within any of these circumstances that Congress laid out.
Well, what's the indication that Congress foresaw and excluded that ground for tolling?
Just the fact that they chose to provide for other situations and speak.
Well, maybe they didn't think of this one. Is there a legislative history that mentions equitable tolling?
There's nothing that would suggest that this is that this would be opened or closed, except from just looking to the language of the statute itself. And I think because of federalism, even though in Section 2255 equitable tolling has been recognized and the statutory provisions are similar, principles of federalism come into play. And whereas in 2255, this is a federal court reviewing a federal conviction, in 2254, it is a federal court reviewing a state conviction, and that's even one more wrong removed from the collateral review process. And because habeas corpus and these provisions are a matter of legislative grace to begin with, and unfortunately, the circumstance that if a district court misleads a petitioner, while that's an unfortunate circumstance, Congress just simply decided to draw a line in the sand and to cut off relief with these provisions as applied to state court convictions. So I just wanted to close by saying in these circumstances it certainly wouldn't apply, and because there was a substantial period of time where nothing was pending in any court. Petitioner waited 2 years after his direct appeal before filing his post-conviction petition, and then at that point it was only 20 days before the federal statute of limitations was set to expire. And then once he was noticed,
courts that hold that equitable tolling applies, well, what do they think is missing from the 2254-2A provision that leaves room for equitable tolling?
Well, I think that circumstance that we talked about, that when a district court, it talks to a state impediment, which would cover when there's state interference, which if this case there had been any sort of state interference, it would seem to fit within.
But isn't that equitable estoppel rather than equitable tolling if defendant takes steps to prevent the plaintiff from filing within the statute of limitations?
Well, it would seem to fit within D1C if the state created some sort of impediment, that would fit within equitable tolling under that provision.
What is D1C?
It's D1B, that there was an impediment created by the state. But
impediment created by the state?
That would be.
What if the state misleads a person? How does that fit?
I think that the defendant has a certain amount of responsibility for his own litigation, and if the state, if his own attorney, he has a responsibility.
You know, if the state misleads him, what is this? What is, how does that relate to this provision you mentioned?
Then there is no relief for equitable tolling because it doesn't fit within if the state.
No, but if the state, why isn't that equitable? Do you know what equitable estoppel means?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
You know what equitable
to.
Estoppel is? No.
Okay.
Anything further?
I don't.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Next case for argument is Smith versus